Well, hey there, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of The Change Room with Rod and Leslie. We are super excited to be back. And you know what? We've been talking and we just don't feel like we're done talking about emotions yet. So all of you all might have thought we were done talking about emotions last week, but we are not done. There is so much to cover. And it's like the news cycle this week just gave us all these juicy, luscious examples of emotions. And so we're gonna keep the topic hot. We're gonna keep talking about it. Rod, what do you want to add into the mix as we get started?
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah, you're right. The news cycle gave us some more stuff to talk about. So I think for context, we record our podcasts typically on the weekend.
Right.
And we did last week's podcast before, and this is where we're going to tie it in to, you know, what was happening in popular culture, is we did it before the Super Bowl.
Sure.
And
let's imagine that I knew that.
You were like super.
You mean where Taylor's boyfriend was doing? I'm teasing. Yes, the Super Bowl Sunday. Okay. I know that. I totally know that.
Yeah. And so I actually, after we finished recording last week, I was like, oh, there was more to say, because we didn't touch on, you know, when people who like psychology and change and how the brain works, a lot of times we would be familiar, and a lot of times we talk about emotional intelligence.
Yes.
We didn't say that concept, refer to that at all. And I just felt like, and it's not that I'm a big fan of that concept, but it's like, you know, oh, like it's kind of an incomplete conversation.
Yes.
And then the Super Bowl.
Dun,
and
dun, dun.
In between clips of Taylor's, no, I am totally.
When my girl Taylor was on screen. Yes.
So I'm a big NFL football fan. So I do follow this stuff. And I do follow the Kelce brothers have this podcast they've had for a couple of years, of course. Travis is the boyfriend of Taylor Swift, as you were alluding to. And so I'm, you know, whatever, all up to speed on the latest gossip. That's just my hobby. But in
I
the game.
I love that you know all the latest goss. Continue.
So in the game, you might not, it's kind of, this is what got in the news, is that the team wasn't doing so well. Travis Kelce got into the face of his coach and actually bumped him, and the coach stumbled a little bit. But the look on his face was like this anger, and he was like yelling at his coach. Of course, the picture makes it feel like it lasted for half an hour, but the interaction was very brief, but it got tons of press.
Yeah, I saw it as memes all week. Like, I didn't know, I didn't have any context for what was going on. I just saw this very angry bearded man yelling at this roly-poly gentleman. And I was like, what is happening? What would cause this to happen? Holy moly.
What were the different memes? It was like, how do you feel when they get your latte order wrong? Or something?
That's like, right. That was the first one,
Rod.
Someone
like... cut you off in traffic.
It was all things like that. It was when the meeting runs over, you know, all the things. But like visually, all I saw was this young bearded man screaming at this roly-poly older man. And I thought, goodness me, what on earth? So, no offense to the coach, who I'm sure is a very, very lovely person. I say roly-poly. I'm a roly-poly person. I think it's lovely to be roly-poly. But that's all I saw was this giant man screaming at this, like, granddad or your uncle or something, you know?
And so it got all, like, first question or second question at the end of the game. So they won the game. The coach is being interviewed is like, so tell us about that interaction with Travis Kelce, where, you know, what happened there? And the coach was really, he played it off. He's like, oh, you know, Travis is a passionate guy. I know, like, I want that passion. I want people to, you know, want to be in the game, want the ball to like, want to, it's like, he was framing it really as like, didn't bother me at all.
Right.
I love the passion. And now, a couple days later, these brothers, they have their podcast. They talk about it. And instantly in the podcast, so the question comes up, And he says, oh my gosh, it was terrible. I should never have done that. It was like uncalled for. Instantly was like, I lost control of my emotion in that moment. Like he explained it to say like, yeah, I was really fired up about what was going on. Because at that time they weren't doing well in the game.
Yeah.
And I just thought like, this is a great example of something like I relate to, and a little bit of what I thought, you know, would be good to explore is the, this conflict in a sense between like, here's this passion. It's like the person allowing, or whether you're allowing or not, like it just comes out in this moment, this tons of emotion, which yeah. on the face looked like anger, but whatever it was. And then there's the guilt of, oh my gosh, I expressed that and I instantly felt like, or, you know, after he took that in, he felt like, oh, I wish I never did that and I won't do that again. How can I control? And they kind of, they talked about this quite a bit in their podcast. How can I control my emotions? And so, like I wanted to kind of explore that and talk about this, the, you know, and I can think in an emotional intelligence context, or at least to try to challenge some of those concepts, is to see what you thought about that. Like, how do you, is, you know, and what we were saying before, we were saying, let's celebrate the emotions coming out, but then sometimes they do and we feel guilt for it.
It feels to me, though, that, I mean, context is everything, right? Like, it looked to me, and who am I? I don't care enough about any sport to ever get that, you know, wah about it. But it looked to me like it was a very extreme expression of emotion, like very, yes. very, very extreme. And so yeah. I think what you and I have been talking about and, you know, when we talk about, oh, did I go too far? I don't see any, either of us ever Kelseying it, you know, like that was, that was really, come on now. That was really, you know, that was really extreme. But is that what it feels like? Like, again, as a woman, I have more permission in society to express emotion. So it doesn't feel to me like I'm ever at real risk of it going like that far necessarily. But as a guy, where you feel like you have to, where you're societally told that one has to suppress their emotions 99.99% of the time, does mm-hmm. it always feel like there's a risk that it's going to come out like that, Rod?
Well, it feels, yeah, like the, so this is the, in a sense, like the, that when you, this something happens, and I won't even say when you allow yourself, because the situations, I think in this case, and then the others that I'm thinking of, it's like they're very organic. It just happens.
Yeah. Yep.
Right.
Yeah. He was in a full amygdala state. Like if we're going to use EQ language, his amygdala took over in that moment. And like he was living from his reptile brain. There was no prefrontal cortex situation happening for Mr. Kelsey when that was going on. One imagines one could do a scan of his brain.
Right. And the and then so after the thing, and maybe you see it yourself or you're just reflecting on the situation, it's like, oh geez, that looked really bad. The guilt comes from, like, I guess self, but really I think it's like because what you think other people think about the situation. I suspect that's the case here. Like, though he, because it's so publicized and everything's in the news and like interviews are recorded, and the time between the game and then their podcast, he totally could have taken the route which of like, oh, he heard his coach say that it wasn't a big deal. He could have then said, oh, well, you know, the same messaging, like, oh yeah, well,
no big,
no big deal. But he didn't. He's like, I'll never do that again. I wish I could control my emotions better. I wish I had the ability in that moment to like know when to turn on certain emotions or not. And I'm feeling like this is the one time I want to write into them and say, guys, no.
Yeah.
Don't try to be like the.
Yeah. Don't be a robot.
Yeah. Cause that's, so then that I would relate it to the conversation we had last week and my experience in kind of growing through the, like, I just, I think in my subconscious felt like the right behavior is super control of your emotions. And then what happens though is that goes way too far and you lose the passion, and then you feel guilty about times when your emotions come out.
I think it is it's so interesting, right? Because I think like most things in life, it's a balance. And so if we never let ourselves express any emotion, that includes joy, right? Like if you're oppressing, if one's oppressing everything, then that means we're limiting our access to joy as well. And I don't think anything is worth that. Like, I don't think anything is worth making joy and happiness inaccessible to me. And I think if I don't allow the darker emotions to sometimes come out, and it's like, you know, not in a sort of Kelsey game day sort of way, but if I don't allow some of that to come out every now and again, I also don't get to feel the plus. I think we've talked about the sine curve of like emotions before. We don't get to experience the peak of that if we don't let ourselves experience a bit of the valley as well. In my lived experience, at least, that's how I feel.
But then
it's like, how do you make sure you're not turning the tap on full force so that you're, you know, the sink is overflowing and you're creating a disaster in your house? How do you like learn to turn the tap on in a reasonable way? That's not gonna, you know, harm other relationships that you've got. That's the trick, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Like I think we haven't directly talked about until what you're saying right now, but I think in all of this we're recognizing, like, and I would say it fully, is that I know that we're not saying it's like to be emotional and like do whatever you want, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter, because you're just being like your natural
passionate self. Exactly.
So where's the line in the control and filter has to have, like, obvious, you know, things that in that moment you should know never to do, harming somebody, like physically obviously, but also verbally. And it's just I feel like the notion, and this is the EQ notion, which has always been, is like you'd have to be super aware of your emotions, of what you're feeling at the time, which I think is good, like to be aware of the state that you're in. But what I just don't want to agree with is this, like, and to be very calculated in how you're choosing to express it. It's like, okay, in this moment, anger is what I need to express, so I will express anger. And I believe lots of people feel that is the right approach. It's like, oh, I think what I need to do to motivate the team now is to get all angry at them.
Yes.
So I'm going to get all angry at them. Or I think, you know, to me, that's just not the same as what we're trying to talk about, which is like how to allow yourself to be yourself, to show passion. And sometimes that comes out with emotions, you know, like.
Yeah, it's so, I'm so processing what you're saying. It's so true and poignant. And I'm thinking, like, how do we find those safe spaces where we can let ourselves experience emotion safe? Is everything okay? Yes, yes, yes. Hi, puppies. But, you know, how do we create safe spaces for ourselves so that we can experience and then express emotions in a way we feel safe?
Yeah.
And then be able to go out in the world and like know what it feels like know what accessing real anger feels like, know what accessing real sadness feels like, you know, I think there's magic, like with learning an instrument, like with so many things, like with learning a sport, like with anything in life, it's practicing in a safe place.
Yeah.
And then as it starts to happen, you kind of go, okay, society would tell me here I need to be like this, but I don't feel like that. Like society tells me right now I'm supposed to be sad. I don't feel sad right now. Isn't that interesting? I wonder why I don't feel sad. You know, am I masking it with something? Like, I think there's there's a practice component to it that for us to think in our society in which we live right now, that we can just flip a switch and all of a sudden become truly emotionally intelligent, like forget what the books say and forget the control and blah, blah, blah. But like truly aware of our emotions, I think it takes practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got to have someone to feel safe with to do that, you know?
Yeah. 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 And for many of us, you know, our childhood is, I guess, where a lot of that practice occurs, but we don't all get to have like, you know, great, you know, whatever.
No,
like we have
indeed.
Our situations and
indeed.
Family plus.
And if you're English, there's never an emotion expressed, you know, like it's, that's you right. know, there's no access to, to emotion. And so I think for most of us, we're unraveling a lot of that kind of junk as well, that programming from our childhood and youth and what we saw replicated in family situations. And, you know, it's not, it's not easy to unravel this. It's no wonder we're all a little bit emotionally stunted and, you know, can't always express, like even never mind express, but just access how we're really feeling. Like step one, access your emotion.
Yeah.
Step two, express your emotion, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And otherwise it all comes out as anger, because I'm guessing that what Trevor Kelsey was, doesn't matter. What Taylor's boyfriend was probably experiencing in that moment was disappointment.
Yeah.
Right. But it comes off, like if you look at the pictures, he just looks ferociously, viciously angry.
Yeah.
You know? And so sometimes I think emotions get masked as other things as well. And so learning that is also really cool. Like, what am I really feeling? Because sometimes I also know, and I've read and even experienced personally, that sadness is actually anger, unexpressed anger, where you feel like you're not allowed to express anger. And so you get sad, depressed, you know, not clinically depressed, but, you know, like, life, like day-to-day life depressed, because you can't express that anger emotion, you know? So I think it's tricky too, to know what we're really, really feeling.
Yeah. 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 It's true. And then there is a, you know, we're talking about our own experiences and how we're interpreting this stuff, and there's a real like relativeness to, and I'm going to give you an example for me and to show you how, when I say relativeness, so for example, it's like, somebody who maybe, like these guys, these Kelsey guys, they show emotions all the time. I don't think the advice for them would be is like, hey, guy, you should get, you know, more emotions. We need more. Like they probably do need the, like, okay,
someone saying,
be aware.
Dial it back a little bit, boys.
Yeah, like probably good advice. You know, be aware, like the whole, like, learn to be aware of this stuff. I got to get, like, compare it to me. and I have, you know, situations come up, and I remember one time, it was a while ago, and I can't remember the situation, but I was leaning into being really like, no, this is my opinion. Like, this is what I think is the right thing to do. This is what I want you to do. Like, you might disagree with me, but I want this. And my sister was listening to the conversation. And so afterwards, I was like, oh my gosh, I think I was way too tough and mean with that person, and starting to feel guilty. And my sister's like, I listened to that conversation and you were just normal and fine. So what's the disconnect here is that in my body, and I'm feeling the emotion, I'm like, and I'm not used to expressing it and pushing for something. And so that's my equilibrium is like on this low end scale. You wouldn't even notice I was otherwise passionate, air quote, or whatever in that moment.
Right.
But for me, it's like, wow, I don't want to project myself as being completely emotionally, you know, controlled, but
you
I think
are
I,
not. Yes.
No, but I think a lot, I, you know, subscribe to that thing we were saying about the culture is like, it's better to super control your emotions and vector too far that way, so that when it does come out, it feels really uncomfortable for me.
Yes.
Yet anybody looking at the situation Like, that seemed totally fine.
It's so, number one, I find it fascinating how much we judge ourselves for these things, right? Like, we're never good enough. Yeah. Like, we're too emotional or we don't have any emotion. Like, we'll never give ourselves credit for being the incredible and rational and thoughtful and caring human beings that we all are. Well, not all, but like most of us are. Mm-hmm. And so it's so interesting to me how hard on our, like, I mean, I think we've talked about it before, but the feedback I always get is that I'm too much fun and people don't think I take things seriously. And my thing is, I'm fun at work because I think you actually get more stuff done when you have fun at work. Like, people want to come to your meetings, they want to work with you, they want to partner, all the things. And yeah. So I have to, like, my version of what you're talking about, Rod, is dialing back my fun factor if I want to, you know? Mm. And so every day my quandary is, okay, is this a place where fun factor Leslie can come out and play? Or is this a part where fun factor needs to, you know, be a little bit more measured and managed? I think we all have those moments where it feels like there was a time once in a big fancy meeting with big fancy people where I smiled at the onset of my, like, what I was presenting on. And then for the next 5 minutes in my head, I'm like, oh God, I just smiled. Are they going to take me seriously? I shouldn't have smiled. Why would I? So, and this is not long ago. This is not like 15, 20 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, this is not, you know, this isn't eons ago. This is fairly recent. And so I think we all have that in our heads. And my goal is to slowly but surely let that go, to let myself be my genuine self in the moment, whatever that is, and trust that I have enough acumen of being a human being that it's not going to get too extreme in any one direction or the other. And I think the same is true for you. You're a very caring human being. And if you're angry, it's okay to say that sometimes. And if you're sad, it's okay to say that. But you know, to block everything. I think, again, the ultimate horror of that is that we block ourselves from joy.
Yeah.
You know, if we block ourselves from all the other stuff, we are guaranteed blocking ourselves from joy. And that's not okay. That's not okay.
Yeah.
And life is too short.
We block ourselves from being ourselves.
Yeah.
And something you were saying to me before is the connection to this and flow, which being in flow is about being in a happy space, place. So you're right, like, connected to joy, but it's just like you can be yourself and engaged and absorbed in a moment when you're comfortable with that balance of allowing, and we're not talking extreme emotions, but just allowing you to be expressing yourself, which is this combination of things, including emotions.
I think you finish, you go.
No. Well, I was going to tie it into this other thing I was hearing recently, like the criticism of these AI chatbots. It's in a way it's like they've been neutered to not say crazy stuff because they make things up,
right?
But then it feels like it's kind of like a blah, you know, super control, like, not, this is where, you know, you're not dealing with somebody because there's no emotion. Like, that's the personality.
That they failed the,
like,
Turing test.
Yeah.
I am grateful for that. I'm not going to lie to you, Rod. I am very, very grateful. I think, in addition to opposable thumbs, our cheekiness and our ability to sort of diffuse situations with humor and make things fun and be sad when we need to. I mean, that's uniquely human. You know, I'm not ready for chatbots to do that yet. I'm sure at some point and even somewhere there's already sentient AI that's doing all of that, but I'm happy to not have access to it yet. I'm not ready.
Yeah.
I like that belongs to us, you know?
Yeah.
And then we just have to be smart to tap into it because, you know, don't let, you know, we don't have to be the AI bots, you know?
Yeah,
we can, totally. We get to have that full access.
Yeah, totally. I would say I know, like it just occurred to me that if there's an emotional intelligence thing, I'm framing it to say it's like being connected in with how you're feeling. And if there's any dialing up or down, it's probably, if you can, it's being aware of who you're interacting with.
Yes.
It's like that empathy of the you know, whoever is, whatever's going on and who that's with, you know, it's probably, it's good to dial, tailor towards without trying to be so, you know, surgical and cold
contrived.
And manipulate. Yeah. Contrived. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But it is I think it's something, I think emotion is something that sometimes we just all take for granted. But when we really dig in, that's why I love talking to you about this stuff. When you really dig into it, it's such a rich, juicy topic.
Yeah.
To just think about how this makes us so unique and how wonderful that is, but that it's not easy either. It's not, yeah. You know, it's not like, if we take it for granted, I think we lose some of the richness, you know?
Yeah. And this is part of the life journey of constant learning about yourself.
Yes.
And, and it's like this ongoing story of trying to be ourselves, expressing it, and then learning what that's like and how you know, which parts do you feel comfortable with when you reflect on the day and which other parts are less so.
Can I tell you something? I am so glad we are back at this. I love these conversations with you, my friend. Like, this is, I can't imagine anything more delicious than talking to you about emotions today. It's so good.
Me too.
It's so good. Who knows, friends? We could be back to talk about emotion again. I feel like we have more to say. I feel like we might, even though our time is probably done, we may not be done. So buckle your seatbelts. It could come back. Right. There could be a three-peat. Isn't that what the sporty people say? Could be a three-peat.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay, thank you too.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Bye.